Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yotes on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yochanan, Taikvay Shal Yosef. We know that Yosef, we all remember the parish of Chumash, that Yosef withstood a tremendous test with the wife of Potiphar, who was attempting to seduce him. And is great, this way most we should explain the Gemara, as great as Yosef's act was, it pales in comparison to Boaz. Because we recall that Boaz, Rus, came and lay down right next to him, and he still did not have relations with her. But continues the Gemara, Taitfoy Shabayas Avanusasa Shapati Balayish, as was discussed in the previous year, Pati Malayish was married to Michal all of those years, and yet they never had relations. The Gemara explains itself. The Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, it was the middle of the night. The Boaz began to tremble. And says the Gemara, Mavi Yalofes, Amrav, his body became hard because of the woman laying next to him, which wasn't actually the case by Yosef, and yet he did not have relations. And continues the Gemara, however, Taitva Shabayas, as great of the act of Bayas, still appeals of Nasnasasa Shapati Balayish Kadamoram, because Pati Malayish was married to this woman for many years and still never came close to her. Amar Yochamaydik Siv, the Pasuk says, Rabbis Bonois Osuchayil, Vat Olis Al Kulonim. Rabbis Bonois Osuchayil Zayos V'boyers, how great their act was. However, Vat Olis Al Kulonim, Zay Pati Malayish, who as we've been explaining, was even greater. Amar Shmuel Ben Nachman, Amar Yochanan, Maidik Sev Sheker Achei Vehevel Ayoifi. Sheker Hein Ze Yosef. Vehevel Ayoifi Ze Boaz. Yiras Hashem Hitasawo. What represents true Yerushamayim? Ze Palti Ben Laish. I saw two explanations in the Mepharshim why what Palti Ben Laish did is considered true Yerushamayim. One pshat, the simple pshat, is the, as we keep on repeating, Palti Ben Laish didn't have this for a short time. Like, Boaz had it one night. Yosef also didn't have it for such a long time. Pati Malayish lived with Michal for many years, and yet he was able to withstand and not have relations with her. Another pshat that I saw is a beautiful pshat. Yosef, Boaz, they both recognized having relations with these women, whether Yosef with Eshes Potiphar, whether Boaz with Rus, was wrong. Palti Malayish, however, as was discussed in the previous year, was married to Michal. And he therefore could have easily taken the easy way out and said, it's permitted for me to have relations with Michal. He didn't take that approach. If there's a question that perhaps it's prohibited, he didn't do it. That is Yerushmaim. From where does one act that way? Where does one come to act that way? Because he's Yerushamayim. Davach continues to Gemara Sheker Echein, Zadar Shamayim. Vevel Ayoifi Zadar Shal Yeshua, Yerush Hashem Hitasalo, Zadar Shal Chizkiyo. The Chizkiyo's generation was greater. I saw two pshatim why Chizkiyo's generation is considered a greater generation than the generation of Moshe and Yeshua. One pshat is, because in the times of Moshe, they lived, they had a great life. They had mon, they had their clothing never getting ruined, they had water. So to do what's right under those circumstances is easy. Yeshua, similarly, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it very attractive for them to be in Eretz Yisrael. However, in the times of Chizkiyah, they didn't have all of this. And yet, they learned Torah and did the right thing. That represents Yiras Hashem. One pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they couldn't fulfill all the mitzvahs because they were in the Midbar. So all the mitzvahs at Tluyas Baretz, they obviously couldn't fulfill. In the times of Yeshua also, they were busy capturing Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they couldn't fulfill all the mitzvahs. However, in the time of Chizkiyah, where they were already settled in Eretz Yisrael, it was a time that all the mitzvahs could be fulfilled. That's the time of Yiras Hashem's Yitzhalom. Davracher, Sheker Chayin Zedar Shal Moshe V'Yeshua, V'Chevel HaYoyfi Zedar Shal Chizkiyah, Yiras Hashem Yitzhalom, Zedar Shal Yehuda Bar Eloi. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi, they said regarding the time of Yehuda Bar Eloi, Shashisha Talmidim Miskasim Talas Echos, that they had six Talmidim wearing one talus being covered with one blanket for Eskim B'Torah. So Pasha Pshat is that they were able to get along with each other. And to be able to get along with each other is required for success in Torah. Another Pshat is that they were obviously very poor, that they couldn't even afford a talus. In fact, the Groth says Pshat, how could six people cover themselves with one talus? So the Groth says a beautiful Pshat. The Groth says that of course they couldn't cover themselves with one talus. They had one suit, and every time somebody needed to go out, they put on that suit. It wasn't like they always shared a suit. When you needed it, they had it hanging in the closet. Whoever needed it took it. And even though they had, so obviously they lived in a time of great poverty, they still learned Torah. Another Pshat, we know the Gemara many times calls a talus. A talus drabotan means a very very significant, important garment that was worn by Talmid Chachamim. They were humble. They were modest. Nobody needed these expensive, fancy clothing. And that's why they were successful in the learning. But it's a beautiful pshat from Chaim Shmulevitz. Chaim Shmulevitz says as follows. He says, how is it possible for six people to share a blanket? How is it possible? He said, there's only one way that's possible. If everybody is not worried about themselves, he's worried about the next person. In other words, if everybody's going to share the blanket and try to get as much of the blanket for themselves, it's not going to work. But if everybody says, whatever I have is good enough, let the next person have, he forgives the next person, that's when you can have six people sharing a blanket. And that's what's successful in learning. When people learn together, they're not only concerned about their success in learning and their growth in learning. They're worried about the next person. They're worried about the chavrusa. They're worried about the Talmud. That's Yiras Hashem Yitzhalom. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. But then I saw another beautiful vart. If this is what the Pasuk is teaching us, is Yiras Hashem Yitzhalom, the greatness of Yiras Shemayim, but we know we're all very familiar with this chapter of Mishlei, it speaks about Eishes Chayil. So what does Eishes Chayil have to do with Talmid Chacham learning? Because no one can succeed in learning unless he has an Eishes Chayil behind him, giving him the ability to be Maisa Nefesh for learning. You know how you could come to a time that six people are prepared to share a talus just so they should be able to learn? If there's an Eishes Chayil Yimtza, if there's an Eishes Chayil behind you. It says the Mishnah. Meis Lemeis. The Mishnah continues speaking about the king. If Rachman Slan, a king's close relative, passes away, any item passes upon Shaloi, in order that he shouldn't show his anguish publicly, he's not allowed to leave the palace. Now there's actually a Machloikas Rishonim in this halacha. There are actually more than one Machloikas Rishonim. One Machloikas Rishonim is, what does the Mishnah mean that he doesn't go out from his palace? Doesn't mean that the Hilchas Avelis do not apply to a king? Or does the Mishnah mean that public Avelis, going out to the funeral, doesn't apply to the king? But in the confines of his palace, he has the Halacha of Avelis like any other Jew. Where does this question go on to? Question comes on to, let's say somebody passed away, and he's going to the Levaya, but it's not a close relative. Is he allowed to go to that Levaya? If we say that a king is not supposed to be Bavelis, so it makes no difference if it's a close relative or not. He's not supposed to be Bavelis. But if we're saying a king is supposed to be Bavelis, just by a close relative, where it really hurts more, so we don't want him to show it publicly, so that's why stay at home. By not a close relative, so it's a sorrow, it's terrible when anybody passes away, but it isn't the same, there perhaps the king would be allowed to even leave the palace to attend the funeral. Interesting question that I saw that the Paiskim discuss, Rachmanu Litzlan, Let's say we have a chosen v'kala during the Sheva Brachos. That we know the halach is chosen doy melamelech. The chosen has an, it's not just a saying, it's actually relevant l'aloch l'maisa. So the question is, may a chosen kala attend the funeral? So I saw the Paiskim discuss this question. It seems that most Paiskim are of the opinion that the funeral they're allowed to attend, but they're not allowed to go to the cemetery. Rabbi Yudaimer, Imratz Alotzes Achamita, if the king wants to follow the coffin, Yotze. Shekem Etzina B'Dovet Shiyotze Achamitasa Shal Avner. We find that when Avner was killed by Yoiv, we'll discuss it more in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, David HaMelech went after the funeral. Shenemar, V'Melech Dover Hoylech Achamita. Amalei, L'Hoye Dover Elifayis Asam. Since Yoiv had killed Avner, who had made peace with David, people were tumbling. How could now Yoiv, David's general, kill him? And that's why it was a special situation. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Shemavon Isai, we spoke at the beginning of the parak, that the first meal when somebody comes home as an oval is a Sudas Avra. Says the Mishnah, Shemavon Isai, where the king eats the Sudas Avra, Kalaam Mesum Mela Oretz, Vumes Vela Dagish. What a dagish is, we'll see soon. Tanabon. Makam Shnagun Noshim Lotzes Achamita Yotzes. The Rishonim framed the Gemara the following way. It's clear that by a funeral, women and men shouldn't mingle. Any place women and men should not mingle. The question is, where do women belong and where do men belong? And that does machlokes. Some places had the minig that the women go behind the coffin. Women always stand, go in front of the coffin. And as the Rishonim explain, Tosfos discusses this, what is the Shaila based on where women should be by the Levaya? So Tosfos says, on one hand, women belong to in front of the coffin. Because women brought death to the world. Who was the first one that brought death to the world? Chava. So that's why women should be in front of the coffin. On the other hand, if women will be in front of the coffin and the men will be behind the coffin, they're going to have an opportunity to look at the women, which is a lack of tznius. That's why women should be, that's why the other custom is to have women behind the coffin. How will the opinion that says that women are in front of the coffin deal with this issue, the men are looking at them? So that opinion says that since it's a time of a levaya, of a funeral, people are not thinking about other things when they see somebody just passed away. However, the Paiskim also do say, and this is the custom in many communities, that when we speak here about women going to a funeral, it's only to the funeral. But going out to the cemetery, women should not go out to a burial. The Gross says it's actually the Zohar, speaks very strongly about women not attending the burial of a Nifter. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yudai Mel Oilam Noishim Lufnei Mitzis Yotze. We have a riot that women go in front of the coffin. She came at Sina B'Dovet Shiyotze Ach Mitzis Shalavir. We find by this funeral that we discussed in our Mishnah, that David went behind the coffin. Shenem V'Melech David Hoilach Ach Amita. Now obviously David was with the men. And it says he was behind the coffin, so obviously the place of the men is behind the coffin. Amr loy, loy haya dover. You can't bring a rai from that situation, because Dover HaMelech attended that funeral, as we learned in the Mishnah, Eliphaz's Am, to appease the community, v'nispaisu, and he accomplished it. And that's why, Shaya David, Yoetz ben Anoshim, v'nichnas ben Anoshim, v'yoetz ben Anoshim, v'nichnas ben Anoshim. Dover HaMelech went from the men to the women, from the women to the men, to calm everybody down. Shnema, and as the pasuk indeed indicates, v'yedu kol am v'kol yisrael k'loy hoisa mihamelech lahamasas Avner. David HaMelech had nothing to do with the killing, the murder of Avner. Dorish Rava, ma'idik siv, the pasuk says, v'yova kol am lahavrasas David. The pasuk says that they gave David HaMelech a sudas havra after the levaya of Avner. And actually, this pasuk is the basis for a very important question. Again, I don't want to pass on this shayla aloch lamaisa, but the question does come up. There are people, typically comes up with adopted children, that feel very close to the nifter, even though they have no chiyuv of avelus. They're not biologically related. And they want to act some of the halachas of Shiva. May they. And this pasuk, the Rishonim already make this point, is the raya that they made. David HaMelech wasn't related to Avner, yet we see that David HaMelech ate the Sudas of Ra after the funeral of Avner. So it's a raya that if somebody feels very close to the Nifter, he may. But the Gemara points out the following interesting point. Ksiv lahachreis. If we look at the ksiv of that pasuk, it uses the word lahachreis, to cut out. For Karinan, the kri is lahavris. How do we reconcile the kri and the ksiv? Says the Gemara, b'tchila lahachreisai. At the beginning, when Avner was murdered, the people were very angry and they wanted to take revenge. However, the psaif, when they recognized that David had nothing to do with the killing of Avner, and they realized that he was just as upset as everyone else, lahavroisai. Amar Yehuda Merav, name man nanish Avner. Why indeed was Avner punished? And just to get the history right, even though it's actually Machalikus Rishonim, what was the history? After Shaul was killed, David HaMelech was anointed king in Hebron, and he was king for 7.5 years until he became king of all of Klal Yisrael. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos exactly what happened during those 7.5 years. Rashi says, for the first 5 years, David HaMelech was king in by himself. After 5 years, Avner was instrumental in appointing Ish-Boshes, who was Shaul's son, to become king. But his monarchy only lasted for 2 years. And 6 months later, David became Melech Kol Yisrael. Came to Yerushalayim, became the Melech of all of Yisrael. Tosfos says it was just the opposite. For he was, Ish-Boshes was anointed king immediately after Shaul was killed. He was king for 2.5 years until he died. And then afterwards, for the next 5 years, David HaMelech still did not take over the monarchy from completely until 7.5 years from when he was anointed that he take over the melucha of all of Klal Yisrael. But what happened was, at the beginning, Avner, as I said a moment ago, whichever pshat we follow, was instrumental in making Ish-Boshes the king. But then he realized that David is supposed to be the king, and he made peace with David. However, after he made peace with David, Yoav, who was David's general, didn't trust what was happening, and he killed Avner, and that's the story that we're discussing. So the Gemara asks, why did Avner get this terrible punishment, that he was murdered by Yoav? Amarav, Amihudamarav, Neiman Nenish Avner, Shahayaloi Limchas Pishol, he should have protested against what Shaul did, V'loi Micha. Most Rishonim explain what should have he protested. We know that Shaul killed Noiv Ira Kahanim because they gave David HaMelech food and shelter and weapons, and he killed the city. And Avner should have said, "This, why are you punishing them?" Others say that not that is what he should have been protested. What he should have protested is why was Shaul running after David. He should have told Shaul, David is not your enemy. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Micha v'lo nene. He did protest, but he wasn't, Shaul didn't listen. Shnei Mikra Echadosh. They both actually take their pshatim from the same pasuk. Because the pasuk says, after Avner was murdered, V'yikoyna melech al Avner. David HaMelech cries over Avner. V'yoymer, hakamois novel, yomos, should he die like a novel? Yomos Avner, yotchala asuris, your hands weren't tied, for glech loyna nekhashtim hugoshu. Your feet were not put into chains. So the Gemara explains itself. Mandam loylicha hachkama. Yotchalay suris. Your hands weren't tied. Verglechem loyna chashtim hugoshu. And your feet weren't in chains. And therefore, says David to Avner, you were punished because my tama lemechisa. Why didn't you protest? And because you didn't protest, confer lefnei b'nei Avner nafalta. That's why you deserve this death. Umandam micha v'loynena. It's muik metama. David HaMelech was asking, Hakamois novel yomus? Why did you deserve such a terrible death? Yotchalay asuris. for Grachla and Chashtem, Mechti. Machil Yemachisi, you did the right thing. You protested. My Tama can fall with name Ava Lafalta. So why did you deserve this terrible death? So I saw a very nice pshat. Because there's a fundamental question in understanding this Gemara. Did Avner protest or didn't he protest? How could there be a question? He did or he didn't. So Mefarshim said it's a Gemara Masechta Erchin that discusses until what point one is obligated to be moicha, to protest if he sees somebody doing the wrong thing. One pshat is at klola. Until the person that you're saying is doing the wrong thing starts cursing you. The other man says at akah, until he starts hitting you. Avner was only moicha up to klola, not up to akah. So the man domer that says that that's all you have to do, so Avner did the right thing. The man domer that says that's not enough, you're supposed to go to akah, Avner didn't do enough. Ask the Gemara, Lamanda Omar Micha, according to the Manda Omar, that Avner did the right thing, that he protested, so my Tama and Enish, why indeed was he punished? Answers the Gemara, Omar Nachum of Yitzchak, Shishor Malchus, based on it, Shtayim Shonar Malchus. Those years that Ishbosheth was king, which delayed, whether it's at the beginning or the end, of David HaMelech, 7.5 years, that delayed David HaMelech from becoming king, that's why he was punished. So Taisa says, a gevalde gevart. Taisa says, we know that Yaakov Avinu said to Binyamin, Melachim, plural, Mimech Yetzeu. Who are the Melachim? Shaul and Ishbosheth. So it was already a nevuah from many years before from Yaakov Avinu that Ishbosheth was supposed to be a king. So why is the Gemara, why is the Pasuk angry at Avner? He was just fulfilling a nevuah of Yaakov Avinu. Taisa says, tremendous teretz. He says, our job is to do what's right. Our job is to do what's right. Nevuah, that's not your job to worry about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's nevuah being fulfilled or not. It was the wrong thing for Ishbosheth to be made king. Avner did the wrong thing. That's why he was punished. I didn't nevuah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu should worry about the nevuah. Continues the Mara. We learned in the Mishnah, Kishmavanai say, when the king eats the Tzudas of Ra, he sits on the Dargish. Ask the Gemara, my dargish, what is the dargish? Ula asked the Gada. They used to have a bed in the house that they didn't use for anything. They left it empty. It was a bed for good luck. And the Rishonim discussed at great length here, how is this permitted to have? We're not allowed to have a nachash, a sanachshu. We're not allowed to do such things. So how is it allowed to have such a thing in the house? So I saw a number of terutz. One terutz is that it's only osif was made for avodah zarah. This bed wasn't made for Avodah Zarah. Another terrace I saw is that they had this bed that they didn't use, and they kept it neat and made all the time. In a house that's clean and neat, there's a bracha. In a house that's messy, is the opposite. So by having this space in the house that was always clean and neat, they brought bracha to the home. A third pshat that I saw is that what is the definition of a wealthy person? The definition of a wealthy person is who has more than he needs. So they wanted to show that they had what they need. So they had a bed that they didn't use. Somebody who doesn't have what he needs to use every bed, needs to use every inch of his house. That's what showed that they had what they needed. And that's why it wasn't awesome. Omrele Rabbanan Lula asked Rabbanan, we need to understand this. Mika midi ari idna leisivna. Typically, we said nobody ever sits on this arash to the Gada. For Hashta, now, Dafka, when the king is in Avelis, Mesfinale, now he's going to sit down on this Dargish, Maskul Rava Maikusha. Why is this difficult? Dibba Mida da Hava Achil Vishtiya. Why is this different than eating and drinking? Dada Hidden Loy Chil Nevloy Shkina. Typically, the king, Baruch Shem, has enough to eat and drink from his own resources. Hashta, come Achlina, Leva come Shkinale. And now, he's given to eat and drink. Like we said, the Sudas Avra, he doesn't eat from his own, people bring him. Eli Kasha, if there's a difficulty with this pshat, ha Kasha. We know there's a halacha of Kfiyas Hamita. We discussed it in Masechta Mori Katan. The minhag was that all the beds in the house, when there was a shiv in the house, were turned over. We don't follow this minhag anymore because two reasons. Number one, because the goyim, if they come to a house and see all the beds turned over, will excuse us of doing kishif. That's one pshat. Another pshat is our beds have headboards, so it's difficult to completely turn them over. That's why we don't do kfir samita. Even though I saw a very interesting concept from the Shem Tzon Balocha. He says, we know that the minig is that in the house of a shiva, all the mirrors are closed, are covered. So typically people explain, because in the house of an oval, they usually daven. The halacha is you're not allowed to daven in front of a mirror. So that's why they cover all the mirrors. He says that's not the reason. He says the reason is because since we don't do kfiya samita anymore, so we replaced it with covering the mirrors. What's the nafka mina halacha? There's a real nafka mina halacha. What would be the halacha if only women are sitting shiva? So they're not davening in the house. So if they're covering the mirror because of davening, there's no davening. But if it's because they replaced kfiya samita, so even in the house where there are only women sitting shiva, you have to cover the mirrors. Eli Kasha, says the Gemara, Hakasha. The Braisa says, Dagish ain't tzarcha kfaisai. A dagish doesn't have to be turned over. El azaykfa, it should be put up. Now, says the Gemara, Visak daitach, if we're going to find dagish as an ars the gada, so the question is, Amei ain't tzarcha kfaisai, why should it not have to be turned over? But Tanya, didn't we learn in Masechta Mayakotin that a kaifas mitasoi, when kfiya samita is conducted, loy mitasoi bovaru kaifa, not just the bed that he sleeps on must be turned over, el kom mito shiyesh le betaycha gayas hu kaifa, so why should the dagish be excluded? And says the Gemara, my kushet, I don't understand what that, why that's a question, says the Gemara, it's no different than a bed that's used to put kalim on it. Diktani, as we learned there in Masechta Mayakotin, im hoysam yuchedus l'kalim, if the bed is used exclusively to put kalim on them, and tzarch l'kfaisai, ali kasha ha kasha, Hashim gamlil oimer, dargish, by this bed, the dargish, which was made out of a sheet of leather, matika beitin, vunayf me'elav. You just untie the loops that it's tied to the sideboards, and that's how you do kfir samita. Now ask the Gemara, v'salkadatach, if we're going to define a dargish as an aras the gada, kabitim yisle, it's a regular bed, we're a kabitim. Ella says the Gemara, kios rovin omar omali ahum rabbonin. One of the rabbonin, Rav Tachlifa Shmei, whose name was Rav Tachlifa, dav shchiach b'shukid de gadoi, that he always was in the market with a leather, in the leather market, omali my dargish, as the tzala. It was a bed made out of a material, out of a leather sheet. Amar Yochanan. Dargish. When we speak about a dargish, seruga mitaychay, which means that there were holes in the sideboards, and there were loops coming out of that leather material through which they were tied to the sideboard. Mita, on the other hand, is seruga ma'agaba, where the loops were on top of the sideboards. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain it that way? The Mishnah says, Kli Eitz, Meimus HaMekabel Tumma. We know that no vessel is susceptible to Tumma until it's complete. So the Mishnah discusses at what point does a Kli Eitz become susceptible to Tumma. So it says, Amita Varisa, a bed, Mishiyishun B'aradag, from when the sideboards are polished with fish skin. Now, says the Gemara, Vimita Misregis Malgaba, if the loops cover the sideboard, Lamli Sifas Aradag, why didn't he be polished? You can't see them anyway. Ella, says the Gemara, Hava Hamataycha. Both the Mita and the Dargish have loops in the sideboard, not over the sideboard. Just what is the difference? Mita Euli Vafuka Bibizyoni. There are loops coming out of the leather sheet that are tied in holes in the sideboard. Dargish are ulava fukba vaksa, which means there are loops coming out of those holes, and then there are loops coming out of the leather sheet, and they're tied together. Arav Yaakov, Ar Mishum Alevi, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. The halacha follows the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that we learned Rav Shimon Gamliel said on Amun Aleph that all you do by a dargish is mat kapitan fu neufel. Amr of Yaakov Ami, Mita, Shinakliteh Yoitzin, Zoik Favadayo, which means as follows. They used to have a bed with a canopy. Not a regular canopy like we have that we know with a canopy that has a flat canopy on top of it. Rather, they had a stick in the front, a pole in the front of the bed, a pole in the back of the bed, and then they had a pole going connecting those two poles, and they put a piece of material over that, and it just looked like a teepee. So you can't turn over that bed because it comes to a point. So all you have to do is stand it up, and that's how you do kfiyas hamita with such a bed. Continues the Mishnah. The king goes out, takes out the nation to war with the consent of Bezdin. So the Rishonim ask, our Mishnah, our sugyas are trying to speak about how special a king is treated. This doesn't teach us the greatness of a king. If on the other hand, if anything, it teaches us that a king isn't that great. He needs the Sanhedrin's consent. So how does it come here? So I saw two truths. One teretz is, it is teaching us the greatness of the king. That you have the whole Sanhedrin agreeing that they should go to war. It isn't good enough. You need the king's consent. Another teretz I saw is, yes, a mechemes rishus needs the consent of Sanhedrin. What about mechemes mitzvah? Mechemes mitzvah, the king can go out on his own. That shows how great the king is. The king could open up a way and nobody could stop him. What does a parts like derech veimech biyodim mean? Some rishonim mean that let's say the king has a field and he needs to have a path to the field. He could take somebody else's property and nobody could stop him. That's one pshat in the rishonim. Another pshat in the rishonim is if the king is marching to war and they have to walk through somebody else's field, somebody else's property, then nobody could stop him. So I saw the rishonim ask, Tosfos already asks, there's a famous parsha in Shmuel where Achav wanted to take the property, the field of Yisrael, and Yisrael refused, and Achav killed Yisrael. Now the question is, what? Yeah. The question is, why was he novice Israeli? So the question is, Achav didn't do anything wrong. The Mishnah just taught us that he's allowed to do it. So many terutzim are given. One terutz says he's only allowed to take property when it's for the welfare of the community. Here he just wanted it for himself. That's why he did the wrong thing. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim answer is that if the king wants to do it, he has every right to do it. But what happened here was Achav first asked the novice Israeli for permission. The novice Israeli refused. If you didn't ask, you don't have to ask. You're the king, you don't have to ask. But if you ask and the person told you no, so why did you ask? A third pshat that I saw, only a person who's melech of all of Klal Yisrael has this Peretz Loiderech permission. Achav was only a melech Yisrael. He wasn't a melech over all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he didn't have that authority. We say every night by Ma'ariv, Bekei Yam Lufnei Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. So what do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? A melech. Bekei Yam, he was Pirates Derech. After you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the characteristics of a king, so what do we say? Zekeli Anu V'Amru. We realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech because he did what a melech does. He's Pirates Derech. There's a very famous story, very cute story from Yonis and Eipschitz. The king knew that Rabbi Yonasan Eipschitz was a very smart person. And the king was about to enter the city. He says, since you're such a smart person, I want you to tell me, to predict, through which of the different gates am I going to enter the city? He says, I can't tell you. If I tell you, you're going to do a different gate. What I'll do is I'll write it on a piece of paper, and then afterwards, we'll see if I was right. So he wrote something on a piece of paper, closed it, and then the king, what he did was, went and made a new gate. He opened up a new gate. After he made a new gate, they opened up the piece of paper, and what did Rabbi Yonasan Eipschitz write? Melech peretz leiderech, that the king has the right to make a new gate. Says the Gemara, Derech HaMelech, Ein Lo Yishir. The dimensions of the Derech HaMelech has no specific dimension. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Chol on boises of the Noisun Loi, when they go to war and they get spoils, he gets he gets half, as we learn in the Gemara, and the better half. asked the Gemara, the Mishnah began about the king consulting with the Sanhedrin. When they go out to war, ask the Gemara, Tanina Chadazimna, we already learned this halach in the first Mishnah in the Masechta. It says, Eim etzein l'mechemes reshoz, el api bezin shashim v'echad. So why does the Mishnah have to repeat it? Answers the Gemara, I did the Tanik, me did the Melech. Since the Mishnah is teaching us all the other halachs about a king, Taninami, so the Mishnah repeated this halacha of Metzin l'mechemes reshoz. Amar Yudam Shmuel. We remember the passion Shmuel, where Shmuel, where the people came to Shmuel and requested a king. Says the Gemara, Kala Amar B'Pashas Melech, everything that says that Shmuel told them will happen if you choose a king, Melech Motabai. The king is allowed to actually do what it says there. Rav Amar, Rav disagrees. He says, Lo Nemer Pashas Zu, Elo Lai Melem, to get them scared. Shnema, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech, Shetehei Emosa Alecha. I saw a beautiful verse from Rabbi Yehuda Asad. He says like this, what's pshat, soim tasim alechem, mel shteim os alechem? If there's anybody that has anything he needs, it's a king. But even though he has everything he needs, he still has Yerushalayim. So if a king who has everything he needs has Yerushalayim, certainly we should learn from the king that we need, we don't have everything we need, that we have to have proper Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, this is actually Machalikus Tanoi. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Kolam and Pashas Melech, Melech Motabai. The king's allowed to do. Yudaimer, but Namer Pashas Zu, El Kadei Elayim, Elayim, Shnem, Sam Tassel Lamecha, Shteyev Masa Lecha, that's how they'll fear the king. Bekein, Hoyer, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Give him mitzvahs and stav Yisrael b'chin Nisos and Oretz. There were three mitzvahs the Klai Yisrael were commanded to do as they entered at Yisrael. Laham Lamelech, to appoint a king. Lachar Zer Shal Amalek, to destroy Amalek. Or Nivus Lambesa Bechirin, to build the base of Mikdash. Rabbi Nahoy Emma, Lord never passed through El Tramwasan. It was only said because they were complaining. Shinemar, as they were asked Shmuel for king, and Shmuel had said, Vamata Simalai Melech. Tanya Rabbi Lezo Emma, so Kenish Bedar, Kahoydin Shal. Does the Kenim ask for king properly? Shinemar, Tanulan Melech Lashaftainu. Avle Emma Archibahen, Kilkulu. They asked improperly. Shnema, v'yinu gama nachnu kikol agoyim, shavteinu malkeinu v'yetzul faneinu. So Pasha Pshad the Gemara, Rabbi Loza is saying that their request for a king was an improper request because they only wanted a king because they wanted to be like all the nations of the world. Durant says a different Pshad. As we're learning and we'll continue learning, the king has special rules. Till the time of the kings, they were ruled by the Shoiftim, who followed the Torah. And the problem what they did was that they preferred the rule of a king over the rule of Torah. There's a fantastic, fascinating Abarbanel who looks at this entire parasha, because there's a fundamental question. The Torah, as we're learning, says you're supposed to appoint a king. So how could Rabbi Elazar say that their request of a king was something improper? The Torah speaks about appointing a king. So Abarbanel says, when the Torah says the parasha of a king, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to appoint a king. The Torah is saying a nevuah that there's going to be a time when people are going to request a king, which they shouldn't be requesting, but they're going to be requesting a king, and the pasuk is telling us what to do. But the right thing is they should never, chas v'shalom, request a king. Tanya, continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Meshal Shmitzvus Nitzav Yisrael B'kin Nisosim L'Aretz. Laham L'Melech, to appoint a king, L'Achos Arash L'Amalek, Anonles L'Am Beis B'chira. I don't know which of these three mitzvahs should go first. Shoimer, as the pasuk says, Kiyor Alkeis Ko Mekama Lashem Bamolek, have Oimer Laham Lahem Melech Tchila. Why? Because Ein Kisei El Melech. You can't go to war with a Melech until you have a king. Shnema, how do we know the Kisei represents Malchus? Shnema V'yesh Shloim Al Kisei Hashem LeMelech. Continues the Gemara. However, V'adayin Ein Yedeya. Im Livislam based Bechir Tchila or Lahachazer Shamal Tchila, what comes first, to destroy a Melech or to build a base of Migdash? Kshoimer, Venir Lechem Mikolai Vechem, after you've disposed of your enemies, then, Vahaya Mekam Shivchi Hashem, have a Oimer, that's a proof, Lahachazer Shamal Tchila. First we have to destroy a Melech. Vekain Bedavidu Oimer, Vehi Kiyesh Vamelech David, Vebeisai, Vashem Hinir Lechem Misaviv, after David Melech was rid of his enemies, At that point, the Ksiva Yom HaMelech Al Nasan HaNoviv Rei Anoich Yosh Berus HaRozim, it's improper that I live in a nice house and the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash. And the Shem Shmuel explains why is it important to appoint the king first? Because the king represents the Achdus. He brings together the entire nation. And in order for us to be able to succeed in war, we need to have Achdus. So the king who brings Achdus to Klal Yisrael is the first step in prevailing over our enemies. There's a beautiful vart, Chassidish vart, from the Talmud Yaakov Yosef. He explains like this. The Gemara here is speaking to every person. The Gemara is saying the first thing a person has to do is Lahamed Lamelech. A person has to realize that there's a God. He has to Yerushimayim and recognize there's a Melech Malchus Melachim. After he recognizes there's a God in the world, the next step is he can win against his Yetzirah. And after a person is able to win against his Yetzirah, that he can become a miniature Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says, Amar Reish Lakish, B'tchila Malch Shlomo El Yoinim. At the beginning, Shlomo was king even over the El Yoinim. Two pshatim in El Yoinim. One pshat El Yoinim is he was the king over the Malachim. Another pshat is that every nation has a sar in Shemayim, and he was able to rule over all of them. Shnam V'yesh Shlomo Kisev Shem. Look, safe, then he went down a drop. Malach HaTachtoyim, Shnam V'kiroidim B'kol Eivra Anor, B'tifsach, B'tifach V'Azah. Rav Shmuel, the Machlokes, how to understand this. Charamot Tifsach B'Soif Oilem, V'Az B'Soif Oilem. So he was king on two sides of the world. The Charamot Tifsach V'Az V'Hadei Adodi Avyasu. They're right next to each other. Shein, just like he was king at Tifsach V'Az, Shemalach HaTifsach V'Az, Koch Malach HaKol Oilem Kula. L'B'Soif, L'Malach HaLel Yisrael. Shnema, Anika Hel Siisi Melach Yisrael. L'B'Soif, L'Malach HaLel Yerushalayim. Shnema, Divrei Kehelos Ben David Melch B'Yerushalayim. Ubsoif L'Melech Ela Mitasoi. Shnema Hine Mitasoi Shel Shloima. Ubsoif L'Melech Ela Makloi on a stick. Shnema Zaya Chelki Mikol Amoli. Rav Shmulama, what was he king on at the end? Charam Amaklo on a stick. Charam Amgundoi on his vessel. So I saw a beautiful verse from the Gra that at the end he was king on Maklo and Gundoi. We know that Shlomo Melch made two takanas. Erevin, which is made with a makel, with poles, and the Tilas Yadayim, which with a cup. Shlomo Melech was king over the entire world. Nothing, he was left with nothing. The only thing he was left with was with the Torah, with the Erevin and the Tilas Yadayim that he instituted. Another pshat that I saw, makloi represents a stick, a walking stick. People walk with the stick. Shlomo Melech, in whatever situation he was in life, he's always growing. He was always steiging. He always had a stick to walk and go higher and higher, no matter what his position in life was. Hada loy hada. Ask the mother, Shlomo Melech ever come back to his position? Says the mother, machlokes. Rav Shmuel. Charamar hada. He did come back to his original position. The charamar loy hada. Mandam loy hada. He was a melech v'hedjet. Mandam hada melech. He was first king v'hedjet a melech. So Mepharshim asks, what is the Gemara teaching us? Obviously, if he didn't come back, he was Melech V'Hedjet. And if he did come back, he was Melech V'Hedjet of Melech. What's the Gemara reviewing here? So I saw a pshat like this. According to the Manda, he was a Melech. So you think that he lost his position, but he was still a Melech. Says the Gemara, when he was a Hedjet, a full Hedjet. And the other Manda says that he was a Melech, you would think, now he wasn't the same. No, he was the same Melech that he originally was. Parts last is like Derech. We learned at the Mishnah, the king makes a way. Tanabonim, Oitzus Melachim, when they go to war and they have the treasure houses of the king, they belong to the Melech. V'shabiz v'shabizin, anything else that's captured, machtz l'melech u'machtz l'am. It's divided half and half. Amle abayler of dimi, v'amle revach rabishlam Oitzus l'melechim l'melech, that these treasure houses go to the king, is understandable. Uruch ha'demelso. Ella asked the Gemara, Shabiz v'shabizin, Mechzel Melech, or Mechzel Am in Nolan, the Ksiv, Vim Shchul Hashem, the Nogid Ulitzadik. Makish Nogid Litzadik. The Pasuk compares Nogid the king to Tzadik who is the Kohen Gadol. Mat Tzadik, Mechzeloi Mechzel Achiv. We know that when they divide the Lechem upon him, as the Gemara is going to teach us, half goes to the Kohen Gadol, half goes to the rest of the Kohanim. Af nogit, so too the king, mechtzel loy or mechtzel achiv. Ask the Gemara, v'tzadik gufa menoloy, how do we know that the Kohen gets half of the lech upon him? The Tanya Rebbe Omer, for hoysu levar and levonov, mechtzel aron and mechtzel abonov. So I sort of mefarshim explain why from everything in the world is this the two subjects that are compared. It's so a beautiful pshat. The Kohen Gadol cannot go through the procedure of changing the lechem upon him by himself. It takes a minimum of four kahanim. Even though he couldn't do it by himself, he still gets half. The same thing, even though the melech can never win a battle by himself, he needs an army, he's still entitled to half, just like the kohen gets half of the lechem upon him.